Susie, thank you, Paul, thank you, Kath. That was really lovely. Thank you. I am blessed as one of the elders here that Kath sometimes sends me and Pete, not just me personally, and Pete, little snippets on via email of her daily devotionals, and all the time they lift me. And that lovely idea, that picture, that I am God's idea, wow. That, I don't know, but for me, that released something from many years of my understanding of who God and Jesus is. I love it. You know, he's just chipping away gently at who we are. So thank you, Kath, for bringing that. It's good to be here on a beautiful sunny day, isn't it? And I just want to add my welcome to what Pete has shared and the worship guys have as well. And also a welcome to, if you're going to be listening to this at a later date via the podcast. Is it a podcast or our website? Hello to you as well. I've picked that up from Andy. It's a good tip. He reminds us that we should. There's people listening in at a later date. As Pete mentioned, this is week two of our new series on the Holy Spirit, Understanding and Experiencing Him. I think that's a great, great title. I don't know about you, but I've already gained from what Jacob shared last week a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Before we crack on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, as we take time to read and hear your message today, help my and our hearts to be still, and our focus to be on you, our Heavenly Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is week two, and thanks again to Jacob for kicking us off last week. Firstly, if you were here, you might have heard me gasp in a state of shock and horror as Jacob took us into the Old Testament, and my talk today is about the Holy Spirit and the Old Testament. And I was like, no, have I got it wrong? And I was thinking, no, Pete always leaves a label in which week we're doing. So thankfully, Pete's really organized, because if it was me, I probably definitely would have read the wrong week. But when he started going into various verses in the Bible and chapters in the Bible, and then he mentioned Exodus, it was like, wow, he's going to say it. And then he said Exodus 30, and it was like, no. Fortunately, he went into Exodus 31, because I'm going to be speaking today from Exodus 35. And the reason why for that it was a big moment of the old heart going was, I prepared this talk a week ago because we had a family visit to some great friends of ours yesterday, so I knew my weekend was going to be busy this week. But so thank you, Jacob. I've seen him in the corridor earlier and shook his hand with grateful thanks for not going into Exodus 35. So we're going to be reading in Exodus 35 today. And it's the back end of the that chapter. So while I'm doing that, that'd be good to find that either on your Bibles or on your phones or tablets or anything else that you may well be able to Kindles. But as I was just sort of taking time just to do a final sort of rethink and check on my notes for this week, I just looked at my notes that I'd picked up from the conversation, from hearing what Jacob shared with us last week. And he kicked off the series, you know, in Acts 2. And I really want us to really consider these to be important as I share what God's given me to talk about today. Those key points for me were the Holy Spirit is real and personal and is definitely part of the Trinity. Okay, so it's real and personal. It was great that Jacob reminded us of who the Holy Spirit is. He is our comforter and our helper. The gift of the Holy Spirit enables us, and I love this, this is a phrase that he shared, was enables us to wake up and know the presence of God and come face to face with our Creator on a daily basis. Isn't that lovely? And most importantly, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the few that we'll see in the Old Testament, but as we were reminded in Acts 2, verse 18, the Holy Spirit is for us all. As I move into today's talk, and there's one thing that I just want to just sort of think about, is as we were praying at the end of last week's service, I was really conscious that through this series, and as I gain personal understanding of the Holy Spirit, and maybe this is the same for you, part of that understanding will be to grasp hold of what living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit feels, sounds, looks like. I think it's that word, fullness, which has really sort of resonated for me. And as this is a starting point for me in my journey of gaining greater understanding and experiencing, what does that experience feel like, sound like, look like? What is the Holy Spirit and the impact on my life going to be as I encounter other people? For example, as Paul in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, lists those 9 specific behaviours of the Holy Spirit, of which the Holy Spirit brings to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. In my life, I believe I'm a Christian. I am a Christian. I don't believe it. I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. My hope is that as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and the new authority this has on my life, and the fullness and understanding of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, my hope is that these behaviours, hope, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control will be evident and have an impact on those I connect with throughout my weeks. So let's focus on today's talk, which is, I say, about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. As we consider last Sunday was when we celebrated Pentecost, and as we move forward with a greater personal understanding of the Holy Spirit, it's a good thing to start to really understand as a personal, from a personal perspective, what this is. It's really important, and as a dad of 2 growing daughters, I'm learning that it is important not to make any assumptions about anything. I've got many an example where I've assumed that Molly or Evie know exactly what to do, and I'm reminded that I am either 9 or 11, and I haven't a clue, Dad. I've got loads of things that I can think and consider that I've made an assumption of. So I guess that's an important thing from us as a church perspective, as an eldership, and the fact that we're doing this tour is to make no assumptions about our understanding of the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of this year, when we had our Vision Sunday, one of the things that I was really conscious about is at any opportunity that we get, whether it's at church, at house groups, or just casually meeting folks, we should be praying that we were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that is me making an assumption that everybody understands what that means. What does it feel like? How can I be full? What does fullness feel like? And I guess as we gain an understanding through this series of what being filled by the Holy Spirit means to each one of us, as individuals and as a church, we'll start to be able to feel, look, see, hear, understand what that feels like. And then we can take that and start to see the impact of the Holy Spirit, not just on us, but on our local communities, wherever we may be, and whatever that community might be. So when I was preparing for this talk, I kind of, about the Old Testament, I did some research, which was listening to Jacob's sermon last week, and some examples that sprang to mind about where the Holy Spirit is at work in people in the Old Testament include Samson, which we were reminded about his almighty strength and being able to do great things when the Spirit of God came upon him. We've got Gideon and his against all the odds battle in Judges 6:34, where the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon and he sounded the trumpet and the Abiezerites were called out to follow him. And in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 28, we read how the Holy Spirit guides David as he instructs Solomon on the plans for the temple. And there are others, including Moses and the commissioning of the 70 elders, Moses anointing Joshua as he commissions Joshua to lead the children into the promised land. What I see from these examples is the Holy Spirit being active in the Old Testament in a very practical way. And it's this practical way that when the Holy Spirit is present and active, great things can happen. So to expand on this, we're going to go into Exodus 35, which I believe gives us a great example of God moving through the Spirit practically. And it's all around the building of the tabernacle, the place of worship, the Holy of Holies, that place where God's presence is going to be and to be moved around. And I'm going to read Exodus 35, verses 30 to 35. Now, you'll have to excuse me with my pronunciation of some of the names. I will do my best. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit, of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers." So like I say, to get a bit of context to these verses, Moses has been given a clear blueprint on how to worship and praise God. We have the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, and instructions for the Sabbath. God has given exact instructions for what this is going to look like. And as we read in these verses, God's Spirit has fallen on these two people to make it happen. When you read about it, filled with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, knowledge in making things, artistic designs, worked in gold and silver, skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers and embroiderers, and given them the ability to teach others in order to do that. For me, what I get out of this is God's Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in order to draw out, to amplify, to dial up those practical skills through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. What I don't see, folks, is the Holy Spirit giving these two guys, Bezalel and Oholiab, a Superman cape or a Batman mask. They're not superheroes. No, for me, what I see in these verses, and hopefully it resonates for you, is two ordinary people with specific skills who have been filled by the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God, with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, the ability to create and teach others to do something that is extraordinary for the kingdom of God. This has had such an impact on me this week that I just want to repeat that to myself and hopefully to you. This isn't about God clothing us with some superhero power, okay? It's about God clothing us with his wisdom, his understanding, and his knowledge. And he's using those to amplify, to enable us to draw upon our practical skills to do something extraordinary. We know that these guys built something extraordinary that enabled people to worship God. I don't know about you, but certainly for me, reading this and hearing this reassured me to think that God wants to use me to do something extraordinary. But I guess, how does that happen? How do I transfer what I'm reading here, which dates back to Old Testament times? Because I live in Tawin. I'm not exodusing through the wilderness. How do I transfer that? How do I make that happen? Well, the good news is that, as we heard last week, in Acts 2, the same Spirit that provided these two guys, I'm not going to pronounce their names again, you can read them in those verses. That Spirit is available to me and to you, because we read it in Acts 2, that same Spirit that provides understanding, wisdom, and knowledge is available to me right here, right now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, a believer who believes that Jesus Christ died, rose again, so that I can come into relationship with God and receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. That's a fact. That's a reality. So in conclusion, what does this mean for me, for us here in Tawin Baptist Church today? Well, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't have any skills in making artistic designs, working in gold, silver, and bronze. I can't even remember what Someone said that we were over the breakfast table this morning, and I have to fit something to the back of the car this afternoon. And my two daughters said, maybe we should ring Steve, Dad. I did protest because I feel that I can do this. However, Steve might be getting a call this afternoon. Jokes apart, what are those practical skills that God has given each one of us? I can look around the room and I see vets, I see project managers, I see scientists, I see youth workers, I see accountants, I see chefs, I see designers, I see shopkeepers, florists, I see outdoor development workers, I see a sales and marketing and fundraising professional, I see administrators, and if I've missed one out, I'm sorry about that. I've seen volunteers, I've seen mums, seen dads, seen grandparents, great-grandparents. Just like in Exodus 35 and other parts in 35, God wants to use our practical skills just like he used these two gentlemen in Exodus, that by being filled with the Holy Spirit, God will use our skills by giving us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and we will be able to do something extraordinary in his kingdom. Something that is extraordinary in his kingdom. So how do we make this happen? Well, we don't need an encounter with Moses to make this happen. But what we do need is an understanding that we live in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And for us to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and to radiate that out in our daily lives, we need to believe in what Jesus teaches us in John 3:16. And I've checked this with my someone that I trust from a theological standpoint. I've checked it because I want to make sure that I've got this personally right. My understanding of the Holy Spirit needs to be right so that we can then radiate it out. And it really is this point. We now live in the covenant of Jesus Christ. And for us to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, it is about believing in what Jesus teaches us in John 3:16, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him and believes in him that Jesus died, he died for my sins. He then rose again. He ascended and he gave us all the power of the Holy Spirit, which we read in Acts 2, then it really is as simple as that. John 3:16 is the starting point for us all as we journey on our understanding and our experience of the Holy Spirit. Because we've got some great skills here, practical skills, that with knowledge and understanding of our Almighty Creator living in us, we can truly do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, help me to spread your presence this week wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit of love, peace, patience, and fill me with your understanding, your wisdom, and your knowledge, so that my actions this week are signposts which radiate your love and your grace that is working in my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.